Macmillan Audio presents State Tectonics by Malka Older. Read for you by Christine Marshall. For Lou, Calix, Paz. Chapter 1. The Dhaka street swarms with people, objects, and all of the existing data about all of these people and objects. Miriam, who of all people should be accustomed to words and numbers floating in front of her eyes, finds herself brushing at her face, as if to wipe away all that accumulated knowledge. It's too much. She turns on first one filter, removing any data uploaded before the last global election, then another that she rigged especially for this trip, muting personal data that is not directly related to her mission. But Miriam is a believer in fate and coincidence and a childhood reader of Dirk Gently's holistic detective agency, and she can't escape the concern that her algorithm might exclude something vitally important. Miserably, she turns the second filter back off again. A few months ago, a ban on high-emissions vehicles, already the norm in most of the world, was finally enacted for all of micro-democracy. Dhaka included a concentration of particularly recalcitrant sentinel governments, and the moment the law took force, the streets emptied out and transportation, particularly of goods, became scarce. The fool responded immediately, taking over the pavement with no regard for the likelihood that cleaner motor vehicles would pick up the slack. Sidewalks, suddenly unnecessary for pedestrians, became valuable real estate, and capsule apartments were built in front of existing buildings, barely leaving access to the entrances. Hovels sprang up in front of the capsule apartments, sometimes sloping off the ill-repaired sidewalks into the street proper. The garbage collection system had been largely diesel-based, and although a team of rickshaw collectors now supplements the rag-pickers who never stopped searching for anything worth selling, they are making little headway against the mountains of garbage that lean against walls and spill into the street. A massive vehicle, retrofitted to scrape past the new standards, is forcing its way through the human-clogged artery that remains between all these obstacles, and its slow progress is pushing Miriam and, it seems, the entire population of the flooded delta of Bangladesh into the walls and the garbage and the shacks and each other. This is not a context in which Miriam feels particularly comfortable. She grew up in Beirut and Paris and pre-earthquake Lima, and in decidedly comfortable segments of each, and until recently lived in sparsely populated Doha. She itches to deploy her crowd cutter, a translucent shell shaped like a shark fin that would not only give her a literal edge in moving forward, but also isolate her from the press of bodies. But she left herself plenty of time to get to the sanatorium, and she doesn't want to attract any more attention than necessary. Anyone could be watching her, following her from feed to feed, broadcast by microscopic cameras. But there are a lot of feeds in the world, a lot of people to watch. If no one is paying attention to Miriam, she doesn't want to give them a reason to start. And maybe this crowd is thick enough to get lost in. Cheering somewhat at the thought, she pulls her scarf lower over her forehead and presses on. Miriam locates the sanatorium a few streets over. The neighborhood has taken a disorientingly quick shift for the better. It isn't one of the new wealth enclaves with wide streets and gatehouses for armed guards, but the venerable residences are at least cared for enough to fend off the outgrowth of slums on the sidewalks. Miriam passes through a gate with the code she was given when she made her appointment, and then through a courtyard, hazy in the heat, to find the entrance proper. A plaque, an actual plaque, not projected or painted, but engraved, explains the concept of time capsule therapy and gives a brief history of its development, lists the names of major benefactors, including information, Miriam notes with surprise. Some of her bosses must be worried about aging, too, and mentions the date of establishment, 2053. Miriam shivers at the thought of two decades crawling by while those within live frozen in the knots. She pushes open the heavy door and walks in. She finds herself in a large turquoise room with multiple closed doors leading off of it, a well-appointed reception center. Miriam had braced herself for the shock of stepping into a period drama, but everything seems normal. The receptionist is blinking through some data at eyeball level.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?